Lord God, we have heard from your written word, your words of instruction through Moses to the people of Israel as they were preparing to enter your promised land. Words of encouragement and command to be faithful, to obey the commandments, that they were going to have people looking at them, paying attention to them as to how they live their daily lives, especially to not only keep these commands to themselves, but to teach them to their children and their grandchildren. And how amazed people that first encountered them would be as to how faithful they were. Lord, we pray to be that type of faithful people as well in our families, in our communities, and within our congregation. And this day, oh God, we pray that our hearts and our minds may be open to receive a word from you that will help us in our daily living. And we ask this all in Christ's name. Amen. 38 years ago, then President Jimmy Carter established the first Sunday after Labor Day as the annual National Grandparents' Day. So when we talk about that, and that means that's today's National Grandparents' Day, so happy Grandparents' Day to all of you who are grandparents. But we must step back for a moment and ask ourselves, what is a grandparent? Well, simple definition is that grandparents are grandparents. But in the dictionary, the word grand mean is defined this way: having more importance than others, foremost, having higher rank, large and striking in size, scope, extent, or conception, lavish, marked by regal form and dignity, intended to impress, very good, wonderful. I hope all of you who are grandparents could take something out of some of those things and say, that's me, or I wish I were that. These definitions make us feel pretty good if we're able to claim that we are a grandparent. But so what do you envision, though, when I say the word grandparent? An 8-year-old wrote the following description of a female grandparent. A grandmother is a lady who has no children of her own, so she likes other people's boys and girls. Grandmas don't have anything to do except to be there. If they take us for walks, they slow down past pretty leaves and caterpillars. They never say, hurry up. Usually they are fat, but not too fat to tie shoes. They wear glasses, and sometimes they can take their teeth out. They can answer questions like why dogs hate cats and why God is not married. They don't talk like visitors do, which is hard to understand. When they read to us, they don't skip words or mind if it is the same story again. Everybody should try to have a grandma, especially if you don't have television, because grandmas are the only grown-ups who always have time. I'd like to share with you a few statistics about grandparents. There are 70 million grandparents in the U.S. today. That's roughly 1/3 of the country's population. And they're not necessarily old. The average age at which a woman becomes a grandparent is 50, and for a man it's 54. But some become grandparents in their early 30s, and others not until their 60s or even later. Grandparenting is more complicated than it used to be. Responsibilities now often include step-grandparenting. Increasing numbers of grandparents are going to court for the right to visit their grandchildren. The mobility of society means that many grandparents are no longer just around the corner or the curve from their grandchildren. So they have to learn the techniques of long-distance grandparenting. More and more grandparents find themselves providing regular childcare, and approximately 2.7 million American grandparents are raising grandchildren in the place of parents. Now, some of you may be saying to yourselves, my grandchildren live too far away for us to have a close relationship. And others of you may be thinking, I don't have any grandchildren. This message is not for me. Well, while the facts in those thoughts may be accurate, the conclusions are not. My paternal grandparents died before I was born. And my maternal grandmother died when I was 4 and my grandfather when I was 8. But I had loving relationships with unofficial surrogate grandparents. Some lived down the street and some were in my church. While not biologically related, we were related by affection. So the message today about being grand people for great times is a message each one of us needs to hear, no matter what our age or family situation. More and more psychologists are citing the importance of the grandparent-grandchild relationship. Dr. Arthur Kornhaber writes the following, quote, the bond between a child and a grandparent is the purest, least psychologically complicated form of human love, end quote. He claims that grandparents can offer an emotional safety net when parents falter. They pass on traditions in the form of stories, songs, games, skills, and crafts. Just like Moses was instructing the Israelites in this morning's scripture from Deuteronomy when he wrote, be careful and watch yourselves closely so you do not forget the things your eyes have seen or let them fade from your heart as long as you live. Teach them to your children and to their children after them. And two chapters later, in Deuteronomy chapter 6, we read these instructions. Never forget these commandments from the Lord that I am giving you today. Teach them to your children. Repeat them when you are at home and when you are away, when you are resting and when you are working. Tie them on your arms and wear them on your foreheads as a reminder. Write them on the doorposts of your houses and on your gates. Responsibility of sharing what the wisdom and the knowledge and experience that we as older adults have that we can share with our younger descendants. Grandparents have another magical ingredient that parents often lack, and that is time. Kornhaber, who I quoted earlier, has found that children who are close to at least one grandparent are more emotionally secure than other children, and they have more positive feelings about older people and about the process of aging. Paraphrasing F.W. Borum, grandparenthood gives every person a second chance. If one's parents fail, then grandparents may yet prove his or her salvation. Perhaps the Bible's most dramatic illustration of that truth is the story of King Manasseh in 2 Chronicles chapter 33. Manasseh has been called one of the most wicked men who ever lived. But in his old age, he repented and turned to God. The son who succeeded him was evil. But Manasseh's grandson, Josiah, became one of the best and most loved kings in Jewish history. By studying the chronology, we learn that the last 6 years of Manasseh and the first 6 years of Josiah overlap of grandparent and grandson. And the last 6 years of Manasseh were his repentant years, his godly years, his years of reform and contrition. It was too late for him to influence his own son, Amon, but it was not too late for Josiah. And we can easily picture that old king spending long hours with his small grandson telling him, now one day you are going to be king. Don't make the mistakes I did. From the beginning, serve the Lord. This grandfather, who had been the most violent and wicked man in his nation's history, gave himself to God in just enough time to spare imprint his newly found faith in the tender heart of his young grandson. Just enough time to influence the nation's history. The Apostle Paul said to his student, Timothy, I have been reminded of your sincere faith, which first lived in your grandmother, Lois. Wonderful examples of both the Old and the New Testament of how grandparents influenced young people. How can grandparents use their position to their best advantage? Proverbs 17:6 says that grandchildren are the crown to the aged. Today, I'd like us to briefly look at four tools for polishing that crown. First one is prudence, a word we don't use very much today. It's an old-fashioned word, but grandparents sometimes feel inclined to give more advice or direction than the parents want at the very time that parents are insecure in their new role. It takes a little time for grandparents to find the right balance, learning to be involved without interfering. Grandparents have a lifetime of wisdom stored up and often know the best times to speak up and the best times to remain quiet. And that's where the prudence comes in, to make that wise decision. The second tool for polishing that crown is it's vital for grandparents to be as accessible as possible. As grandparents, you need to spend time with your grandchildren, to open your home, schedule time for the grandchildren. You need to make the house user-friendly for young people. You need to talk to them and tell them stories. And sometimes, yeah, they're going to roll their eyes. But we never know when we're planting seeds or watering seeds that were previously planted. So the stories need to be told again and again. And we need to read them scripture. In our mobile society, many people don't live near their grandchildren. But we can use email and texts, Skype, and other forms of electronic communication. Many grandparents send a little e-note or message each day to their technology-savvy grandkids. And a week here or there, a vacation, and regular phone calls help to fill in the gaps, to keep that relationship going. That third tool for polishing that crown for the grandchildren, that being of the crown that the grandchildren are for their grandparents, is another P, is provision. Grandparents can provide materially for their grandchildren, just a little bit more here and there. Perhaps it's clothing or books, toys or tools or something for a hobby. Not to go behind the parents' back, but to support the parents. A little seed money, perhaps, for college. Parents over 50, on average, are more affluent in our population, holding 50% of the country's disposable income and more than 75% of the financial assets. But advertisers have a difficult time reaching these people because senior adults have learned through the years to be cautious about their money. Businesses are learning, however, to appeal to them as grandparents. That may be the hook for some advertisers. And the fourth P, the fourth verb, the fourth thing to use to help polish that crown which our grandchildren are for us who are grandparents, is prayer. The Old Testament prophet named Samuel said to the Israelites, God forbid that I should sin against heaven by failing to pray for you. That's something grandparents need to be about. Grandparents, if they have more time, they have more time for prayer and Bible reading. And not prayers just for the world, but prayers for their family, prayers for their grandchildren, And also not just praying alone, but praying with the grandchild, modeling a life of prayer so the grandchild grows up and it's not foreign to them. So to recap, the tools necessary for effective grandparenting are, again, it's P's. Somehow I come up with P's a lot for some reason. It's prudence and presence, provision and prayer. And maybe just a little dash on top of patience. These are powerful tools for crown polishing. For our children's children are a crown to the aged, and those who realize that, they are the grandest people of all. And before we go, let's pray together at this point. Gracious God, you have put us into relationship with others. Some of us have been blessed with children and grandchildren by relationship. And others, oh God, you have created us in relationship by affection. However we find ourselves and wherever we find ourselves, oh God, we pray that those who are living out grandparenting roles today, that they may have the prudence, presence, provision, and prayer to help their grandchildren, not to become overbearing and not to usurp the parent's role, but to be supportive of parents who are doing the best that they can. We pray for those grandparents today who are the parents of their grandchildren, that parents have lost that privilege. We just pray for them as well today. And Lord, we pray for others that yearn to be a grandparent but are not that yet. Lord, we pray that they may find other relationships in which they may use their love and share that with those who are younger. Lord, we thank you for the gift of relationships. We thank you for the gift that of love that you've given to each of us. We pray that we may share that with others. We ask this all in Christ's name. Amen.